con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. Happy Monday, everyone. It's time to get to our 7-7 top headlines. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my great co-host, Kevin Walsh. Of course, our top headline is going to be the Masters. Hideki Matsuyama making history, winning the 85th Masters. He's the first Japanese player to win the Masters. Now, Matsuyama shot a 1/73 to win by one stroke. Exciting ending to the Masters, Kev.
No, it was awesome stuff, and you know, I'm sure he was pumped as well. Tiger sent his congratulations. That was a presence that was missed this week at Augusta. Yeah. Obviously, unfortunate circumstances to not have Tiger there, but Hideki was awesome, deserved the win, and you know, a little bit like, man, we wanted more drama, but we didn't get it because he was awesome, and he was dominant.
Yeah.
And yeah, down the back, you know, a couple, three, four holes, maybe he cracked the door open a little bit, but not really, because he was that good. He was the best golfer of the weekend. Absolutely well-deserved there. Congratulations on that green jacket.
And we broke down the Masters in the first hour, but for those just joining us, of course, wondering about the defending champion, Dustin Johnson. Well, he did not even make the cut. Mm-hmm. Third defending champion in 5 years to not qualify for the weekend. Kev, DJ was one of the co-favorites to win it all, and he had a pretty disappointing performance in this Masters.
So for folks that have been following golf really since, say, the pandemic started, because all of a sudden, again, we didn't have much going on, so golf became a bigger part of the conversation. Dustin kind of came out of the gates pretty slow. He was like this auto fade, which is insane, because then he was the undisputed best golfer in the world and ripped Augusta to shreds. He's kind of all of a sudden back to that odd form now. No, he has not finished inside the top 20 and now four straight, and of course missing the cut here was disastrous for him. Wonder when Dustin Johnson figures it out, because when he does, you're going to want to be on him.
Yeah, and just want to mention Brooks Koepka and Greg McElroy, along with a couple other top golfers, also missed the cut. Switching it over to the NBA now. We had a little finals preview. We talked about this game earlier on the show as well, with the Lakers beating the Nets 126-101. No AD or LeBron, but Kyrie and KD were in a very heated game in this one, Kev. But what's your biggest takeaway from the game?
Gonzaga Baylor. Game gets canceled. All of a sudden, we go, you know what? It was worth it. We waited until the championship. Two Lakers-Nets game. One of them, Durant didn't play. AD didn't play. The second one, no LeBron, still no AD, and no James Harden. I wonder if it all leads us back to a couple of fully healthy squads playing in the NBA Finals, and the worth is worth it.
Yeah. Well, you'd love to see them all play healthy so we kind of have something to gauge it off of. I mean, if this does become the NBA Finals, it'll be interesting to see how we're talking about it from a journalistic standpoint of what matters most. But also in the NBA, Warriors rookie James Wiseman suffers a meniscus injury in his right knee. He could reportedly miss the rest of the season.
Yeah, and this is really difficult for the Dubs, not just because they all feel like they got that pick wrong with how good LaMelo was, but really for Wiseman, he was going to probably be an important piece as they look to bring him along and make a push towards the playoffs. We talked about this as we closed up our number one. The Pelicans are one game back of the Golden State Warriors. They are far from secure in being in the play-in, much less the NBA playoffs. That team's going to have to rattle off some results there to keep the Pels at bay.
Yes, and it seems like a lot of that's just going to fall on Steph Curry. Now, in Major League Baseball, Padres right-hander Joe Musgrove throws the first no-hitter of the 2021 MLB season, but more impressively, the first no-hitter in Padres history. As we welcome in our radio audience, you're listening to The Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines with the Padres right-hander Joe Musgrove throwing the first no-hitter of the 2021 MLB season. Kev, very impressive.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people probably had Musgrove in their no-hitter pool. I don't know if that's a thing, but if it is, that'd be pretty cool if somebody did have a Joe Musgrove. What an awesome performance. I love no-hitters. And again, if you're in attendance and your team's getting no hit, there's 162 games. You got 81 in your home building. Give up on your team, abandon ship, and cheer home history. Rangers fans did that. It was awesome to see. Congratulations. Again, Musgrove, like hometown.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, you know, he's just like practicing that when he was a kid. Like, I'm going to throw a no-hitter. And then he did it. Awesome.
Yeah, such a great storyline. And then in the UFC, Marvin Vettori lands a record 11 takedowns to beat Kevin Holland in the UFC middleweight clash. Holland fought for the second time in the last 3 weeks. The result basically the same. Vettori took Holland down in every single round in a unanimous decision win Saturday in Las Vegas.
Yeah, 11 takedowns, a middleweight record in a single fight from Vettori there. Kevin Holland did look good on the feet, you know, talking a little bit with Brian, you know, during the break here about Holland had a little bit of juice behind him, but ultimately it was almost like that was his downfall because Vettori was like, yeah, I'll exchange with you. And then he was losing those exchanges. So he's like, all right, well, you need to go to the ground. I'm going to do exactly what Derek Brunson did. Credit to Holland. He stepped up. He took the fight on short notice. I'd love to see the UFC get us the fight that was supposed to be, which was Till and Vettori.
Yeah, and our top headline here as we wrap up this segment, Alex Rodriguez and billionaire Mark Lohr are finalizing a deal to purchase the Minnesota Timberwolves and Minnesota Lynx from majority owner Glenn Taylor. Taylor will hold control of both teams for 2 years before Rodriguez and Lohr would take over in 2023.
Galaxy brain take. Derek Jeter comes in, takes over the Marlins, trades all the big names. A-Rod comes in. Karl Anthony Towns maybe wants out. I don't know. Maybe he'll love it. Things are good. Minnesota just won a game against the Bulls. Even though they have like the worst record in the NBA, they're like, no, listen, we're sweet. Things are fun. I love D'Lo. Anthony Edwards is a star. Maybe, but also, who knows? Maybe some trade requests come. I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, the Timberwolves, they've missed the playoffs in 16 of the past 17 seasons. Only passed the first round once. Stay with us here on the Oilers Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Monday and welcome back to the Early Line. Kevin and I are going to hit some NBA preview. The 76ers are playing the Mavericks. And of course, the 76ers lost to the Pelicans on Friday, but did beat the Thunder on Saturday. Want to note that Embiid only had 14 points in that game against the Pelicans, but did look in better form against OKC. So that was positive. But the Mavs will be on a back-to-back after losing to the Spurs. And the 76ers are laying 3 on the road. Do you think they could cover this, Kev?
I definitely think it's right there for them. Mavericks on the second leg of the back-to-back. They lost, you know, a pretty big game when all things considered for the Spurs. A buzzer beater, not a buzzer beater, 0.5 left, but a game winner late for DeMar DeRozan. Got the Mavs or handed the Mavs an L. And the Spurs are trying to maintain a position here in the Western Conference playoffs as well. But a little back-to-back action for Dallas. Something, though, that they can manage. They've actually performed well recently on the second leg of some of their back-to-back. So not an automatic fade like you see with some teams. I'm looking at you, Toronto Raptors. But for the Sixers, that rest disparity is important. The Sixers are coming up against a really difficult stretch here. 7 games against winning team. I think the worst team that they play from a record standpoint is like the Golden State Warriors. I think every single game is on national TV as well, which just – and that's not like a we love Philly thing. It's like, no, all of these matchups are great. There's like there's a Brooklyn game, a Clipper game, a Suns game. So it's just a lot of big opponents on the slate for the 76ers. I want to see where they post this total, Aaron, because it feels like it could be an under. Mm-hmm. But look, both of these teams have gone under in 8 of their last 10 games, and they met not too long ago. Embiid was in, Luka was in, and the game was a dead under. Dallas struggling to get to 100. I wonder if Ben Simmons' size gives Luka a little bit of trouble, Embiid patrolling the paint, and all in all, could this be a low-scoring affair? We don't have a total yet, so tough to say you love it, but I think the total to the under could be worth a look.
And speaking of rest disparity, I mean, you have the Nuggets going across the country to play the Warriors. The Nuggets only put up 87 points yesterday against the Celtics in that loss. Do want to mention, though, that Steph Curry's recorded 30-plus points in six consecutive games, now the longest streak in his career. He's averaging right now 36 points, seven boards, four assists in that span. Now, Denver is laying 3.5 on the road, which is a little surprising just considering how the game went yesterday and having to fly across country in less than 24 hours.
So they're actually coming from Denver. So that'll make it a little bit easier on them.
It will be a little easier. That's my fault. My bad there.
Yeah. No, all good. For a second, I thought you thought Denver was just in a way different spot than it is. But then I realized that you thought they played in Boston.
Sorry, I thought they were on the
East Coast. No harm, no foul. Yeah. Look, no harm, no foul. Imagine you thought Denver, though, was just on the other side. Like, that would have been wild. Ultimately, though, for the Nuggets, still a little back-to-back action here. Golden State Warriors were able to get a good enough result against the Rockets, but it's the Rockets, right?
Yeah.
Denver just had that losing streak snapped. I'm really interested to see the kind of fire that you get from the Denver Nuggets. This might sound maybe a little too cute here, but can we back the Denver Nuggets in the first quarter off of this loss, this disaster performance, where they're going to have to be a little fired up here? You got to think Mike Malone laying into them. And the fact that it is a back-to-back, like, it's going to be on the mind here. And it should be a very light number because this is overall a pretty, you know, tight spread here of 3.5 points. I don't think we have a first quarter spread up just yet. I'll double check quickly on the FanDuel Sportsbook to see if we have one up as early as right now. We don't. But I think that's something to follow, Aaron. Maybe Denver a little first quarter, get creative with it, and see if they come out hot.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the right way to play that game. And of course, right now you can bet on all the NBA games that are on the board tonight. And then let's switch it over now to the Major League Baseball. So Red Sox sweep the Orioles after the Orioles swept the Red Sox at Fenway Park to start the season. Red Sox win 7-3, 6-4, 14-9. Yesterday, the Orioles allowed six homers, including three from J.D. Martinez in that 14-9 loss.
Yeah, remember when Boston was, like, dead? Remember that? When they got swept by the Orioles at Fenway? And it was like, they're done? And now they've swept Tampa and Baltimore? What's that about? I was excited for the Red Sox to be horrendous. Now they're in first. I hate this. Not a fan.
Why? Why do you hate it? Are you not
a Red Sox? Because I don't like the Red Sox. No.
Oh, yeah, you're a Yankees fan. That has to be why, yeah.
That's right.
Well, they're playing the Twins, so the Red Sox are going to go today with Martin Perez in his season debut on April 6th. Perez put up five innings with five hits, six strikeouts. Now, as for the Twins, they just dropped their last two games to the Mariners. In some high-scoring games, though, hitting the over in two of those three games in that series. But you're going to have Happ in his first career start on April 6th versus the Tigers. Happ put up four innings with three hits, four strikeouts. Right now, Twins favored total at 9.5, so it looks like oddsmakers are thinking that the Red Sox could fall.
Yeah, so in this spot here, I'll be interested a little bit in an over. By the way, also, I want to see what they do with the J.D. Martinez numbers. He has an extra base hit in his first eight games of the season, tying a major league record. You mentioned the three home runs that he just hit the other day. He's been incredible. I want to look at the over. First of all, Boston has now cashed seven straight overs. You marry that with the winning streak, clearly they're going to need to score to win. Minnesota, though, an odd trend, but Aaron and I both love trends, so we're going to try to find some, right? Mm-hmm. Here's an odd one, but let's see if it sticks. Every first game of a new series for Minnesota, three of them, to this point, has gone over. I know it's odd. Maybe it means nothing. Maybe it means everything. But look, it's a little, you know, bullet point that I could put down to help me want to back and over that I already want to back. I think between Happ and Perez, these two offenses can put runs up on the board. Plus, this is like a 2 o'clock game here. What are you going to bet? Bet a little Major League Baseball at 2 o'clock and bet an under? Gross. Like the over.
Yeah, you hate to bet the under in those early games. But let's switch it over also, since you're a Yankees fan, we just mentioned that. They dropped the three-game series against the Rays despite 8-4 win on Sunday. Now, the Yankees scrapped together that win in the 10th inning. Now, you have Jordan Montgomery, also a headline here, hit Austin Meadows twice on Sunday, first in the first inning, then again in the fifth inning, sparking Kevin Cash to basically rip MLB over handling the Yankees hitting Rays batters. But the Yankees' record moves to 4-5. Why are getting these wins so hard for them recently?
Yeah, there's no consistency right now for the Yanks. And I think, it's pretty clear. If the bats deliver, they're going to win games. The pitching has been good enough early in the season. The shutout on Saturday was maddening, especially as somebody who took them plus 2.5 runs live. I felt like a solid bet. It was not. That was a loser. But ultimately, putting up 4 in extras maybe wakes this team up a little bit here now. And their next series, they're going to play the Blue Jays again. They already met with this team in the Bronx. They didn't win that series either. But this Toronto ballpark in air quotes, obviously, in Florida, has, seen some big offensive performances here. I'm wondering if this can really wake these Yankees bats up and get them back on the right track, carry some momentum over, Aaron, from that 8-4 victory against Tampa.
Yeah, and the Yankees are favored in their game today against the Blue Jays with a total at 9. Gerrit Cole is going to be in there. 2 starts this season, he's had 21 strikeouts, so maybe you want to go for a strikeout prop there. And then for the Blue Jays, they're going with Robbie Ray. Spring training was great for him. He went 2-0, 18 strikeouts, but he is coming off the injury list after falling downstairs and hurting his elbow. Random fluke there. But do you think this is the game, Kev, where the Yankees are able to get it together, get those runs, and pull it into become the team that they knew they were before the season?
Yeah, look, the last time Gerrit Cole was out there, he was dominant, right? I believe it was 7 scoreless, struck out 13 in the game. His first performance of the season was against the Toronto Blue Jays, so he's now familiar with the lineup. He struck out 8. I am interested, as you mentioned, that K-prop, where they hang that number, maybe 8.5 with a little bit of juice. Perhaps that you play that to the over, sits down a couple more Blue Jays in the game. Mm-hmm. But also this ballpark, we saw some really big offensive performances in that series with the Angels. A Yanks team total against the Robbie Ray is also a number that I would be looking to back here for the Yanks.
Yes, yeah, something to keep an eye on. Stay with us here on the early line. We're going to continue talking about the MLB after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. We are continuing with our little MLB preview slash recap here, starting off with the Phillies and Mets. They're going to be playing each other today. Phillies, of course, playing the Mets after winning one game in their 3-game series against the Braves. And we'll talk about their game last night that was a little controversial. But I want to start off this segment by talking about Jason DeGrom. I mean, on Saturday, it was an insane, all the tweets that were coming out. 8 innings pitched, no walks, 14 strikeouts. And the Mets didn't win. They didn't get one run from their clubhouse.
So, this show made a little case for DeGrom to win MVP. And if the Mets didn't stink whenever this guy pitches, we'd feel real smart right now. Yet he's 0-1, despite clearly being the best pitcher in the sport. He was phenomenal against the Marlins. Like, not like, oh, he was good. Not, oh, he deserved to win. He was incredible. Mm-hmm. 8 innings, gives up 1 run, strikes out 14 batters, and is stuck with a loss? A loss? Are you kidding me? And to make matters worse, he stays in because he's trying to backpack and carry this bunch of losers, and he goes out there and gets a leadoff hit in the 7th, and Nimmo walks, so you now turn it over. This new, revitalized, supposed to hit lineup of the New York Mets sends to the plate Francisco Lindor. Pop out. Moved over to Grom at least, right? Certainly now. Got to get something. Michael Conforto, sit down. How about Pete Alonso? Sit down. Nothing. All for nothing, this team. They had 3 hits in the game. Of course DeGrom had one of them. Horrendous. Awful baseball here. The best bet in baseball to start the season is fading the Mets when DeGrom is on the mound. How is this possible? They are massive favorites when he plays because he is incredible. And he is incredible. Like, it's not like, guys, stop making DeGrom this number. He's consistently not as good as you think. Wrong. He's literally every bit as good as we think. But then this happens. And I love that Edwin Diaz came in just to be like, by the way, like, we have no chance. We absolutely stink, and gave up a couple of runs in the ninth inning as well. Just awful stuff here for Jacob deGrom. It's heartbreaking to watch. There isn't a fan out there, from a Mets fan to a Yankees fan to a Phillies fan, that looks at this and is like, ha, ha, ha. Like, everyone just feels bad for the guy. Like, it's not funny.
Do you think that he'll be able to win MVP if they turn it around and the Mets are able to win with him on the mound? Will that help his case?
So the season that he finished, like, fifth in voting, he only won, like, 9 or 10 games. So part of the reason, again, why I made this case is the Mets were supposed to be better. He should be 2-0. Like, DeGrom should win 20 games this year. But this is what we're going to do. He's gonna be like 10-9 with like 8-0 decisions. The 9 losses will make no sense. He got a loss, Aaron. A loss for going.
Not even. It would be better if it was 3-1, 3-2, but 3-0. That is the problem, that they were completely shut out. And it's the Marlins of all teams.
It's a joke. It's a joke. And, you know, people talk about this. Like, if this was any other sport, he would have requested a trade by now. And he'd have every right to. Talk to Mets fans about this, by the way. Like you might be like, listen to this Yankees fans. He doesn't know what he's talking. No. Ask any Mets fan how they feel about what's going on with Jacob deGrom. They are
could have Mets fans calling
into
the show
for this guy. I can't find a Mets fan that's like, oh, please stop, you don't know what you're talking about, or that's like, listen, DeGrom is every bit to blame, or he knew what he was getting into. They are all heartbroken for this guy who is so obviously the best pitcher in baseball, and yet you're going to have people say, but is he that good? Because he doesn't come away with a win when the game ends. Which is ridiculous.
Well, that's not fair.
Which is
considering that you know that relief pitchers come in. If you look at his stats, it's insane.
Yeah, like he is very clearly the guy, right? But you go to the Cy Young market, like, he was +350 before the season started. He's now down to +300. He's 0-1. Like, he would be close to minus money at this point if these buffoons could actually string together a couple of hits while he was on the mound. He only needed 2. It was 2-1. He probably would have pitched a complete game if they would have been up 2-1. And he would have got the win. It would have been a complete game. 1 run, he would have struck out like 16 guys.
And
it would have been incredible. Yet here we are. And it's like we've already played 2
games.
I'm sure
it's so frustrating for him.
It's the same thing both times. It has to be.
I mean, I don't even know what he says to the team. I don't know if he does say anything or when you go to the locker room, but there's no way that anybody in there doesn't feel uncomfortable that he just had this type of game and they couldn't get the win.
And my favorite tweet, I retweeted on the timeline. I'm sorry, I can't remember who tweeted it out, but I retweeted so you could find it there. Said, Jacob deGrom is going to have the shortest Hall of Fame speech of all time because he's going to have absolutely nobody to thank. And they're
thank
right.
Himself.
Who is he going
to
thank?
I'd like to thank myself.
Like, Michael Conforto. Yeah, like, great job, me. My numbers should be even better than they are. You all stink. I'm great. Good speech.
That has to be so, so frustrating.
Like, that's that.
All right, well, let's continue talking about this game that's going to happen tonight, but we'll take it back a little bit with the Phillies' controversial win last night over the Braves. Didi Gregorius hit a three-run homer in a 4th run inning. Go ahead, of course, in the ninth, up the Phillies snap the Atlanta Braves 4-game win streak, 7-6 win. What was controversial about this, though, Kev?
So the plate in the top of the ninth left the Braves, the manager, Travis d'Arnaud, everybody just livid. They thought that bomb was out. Ultimately, after a review, the play at the plate stood as a safe base runner off of a sac fly from Didi Gregorius. I'll tell you this right now. We've said it a couple of times here. The umps are on the hot seat. They're going to be removed sooner than later because now they don't even feel. We're at the point where they are watching reviews and people feel as if they won't even change the call because they have too much pride and don't want to say, sorry, got it wrong. Sorry, we messed up. Now, I thought it was a tough play. I didn't have a ton of certainty myself watching it to see if he was safe or out, but they were livid. Ultimately, though, great win for the Phils. On the verge of getting swept, they would have handed back the sweep that they had over Atlanta to start the season. Gregorius knocking in four runs. Bryce Harper put a ball over the fence, which was big, as did Rhys Hoskins. Ultimately, that's a great win for the Phillies, controversy or not.
Yeah, and the Phillies are the underdog in this game against the Mets with Peterson on the mound for the Mets, and you have Anderson on the mound for the Phils with a total at 9. I feel like I've been seeing a lot of unders hit for the Phillies. Obviously, yesterday we had that over, but which way would you play this total?
So you got David Peterson for the Mets on the bump here, which, again, a little bit of a mess from the Mets' perspective because they started yesterday's game against the Marlins in a downpour for no reason. Marcus Stroman throws 9 pitches. And just now he's not going to pitch today. What were they doing? I don't know why they started that baseball game. Mm-hmm. But now David Peterson goes out there against the Phillies, and he was absolutely tanked. 4 innings, 7 hits, 6 runs, gave up 2 home runs, both of those in the first inning. It was 4-0 Philadelphia after 1. So they clearly were comfortable against David Peterson. Anderson, who's going to go for the Phils, he was all right in his first start. Dom Smith took him deep in the early stages of that game, but he was only able to last 5, and then the Mets were able to hit that Philadelphia bullpen a little bit. So I think, Aaron, despite maybe seeing some unders cash, this number at 8.5 feels like an over for me.
Interesting. Another game on the board I wanted to mention is the Nationals versus the Cardinals. Now, the Dodgers just swept the Nationals. LA won 1-0, 9-5, and yesterday 3-0 with Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw on the mound. The Nationals are now 1-5. That is a pretty bad record to start the season. The Nationals, of course, now facing the Cardinals, who just dropped their 3-game series against the Brewers. Cardinals are favored in this spot with a total at 8.5. Now, both these teams not playing great lately. How do you play this game?
So I want to just make a little point with this game here about the importance of kind of double-checking information. So if by chance, say, you check pitching matchups on ESPN, you might look at this game and say, whoa, tons of value on the Nationals. Because according to ESPN, Steven Strasburg is going to be taking them out. Now, I'm not bringing this up to throw ESPN under the bus. No, not at all. I'm just saying that you have to double-check this stuff because on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you'll see that they've got Fetty as the listed pitcher for the Nats. Obviously, a massive difference between Strasburg and Fetty. It appears that the FanDuel Sportsbook has this thing right. A couple of sources, you know, secondary. When I say sources, I don't mean reporters. I mean just looking through Google and figuring it out from different websites here. It is going to be Fetty on the mound. So just wanted to add that note. Be careful there because nothing is more important than the starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. You know, that's why the rules are what they are when it comes to betting this sport, that if you end up having a guy scratched, you'll have no action on the game. With that being said, Fetty, awful, awful in his first start. Didn't last 2 innings, 6 hits, 6 runs. No good. The Cardinals, they can still mash a little bit. The Nationals have now lost 5 straight after winning their opener. I'm still going to fade the Nats here, especially with Fetty on the mound. I think the Cardinals in that minus 130 range is worth a play.
That's interesting. And you make such a great point about doing your own research. Obviously, if you read something on ESPN, then you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's different pitchers. That is a huge disparity and something that you should immediately look into, or just don't immediately bet that game until you for sure know who's going to be in that. But stay with us here on the RA Line. Coming up next, we have a guest to talk all things around betting. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. We now bring on Dave Sherapin, who appears on Sports Grid regularly on In Game Live and In Play Sports Tonight. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. How are you doing?
Oh, man. It's a little early. I'm not going to lie. I'm out in Vegas and just trying to get everything woken up and going and just still kind of taking in what we saw at the Masters yesterday. That was a lot of fun. And, you know, a lot of it's another day, though. Yeah. Like basketball, you wake up. Baseball, you wake up. Your hockey, there's games to talk about. It's just another day. So just happy to be here.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you taking the time to do that, especially being out in Vegas. So off the bat, we just want to ask you about the Masters and how is betting on this year's Masters different? Was maybe the markets much more popular, like match play, bigger than betting on who's going to win it all?
It's crazy what golf has become as far as betting goes. And the new markets emerging and the new books emerging have taken golf betting to another level as far as what's offered. You know, because I'm a little bit old school. I've been booking golf for a long time, and it was just outrights. And now it's outrights are almost secondary to top 20s, top 10s, top 5s. It's pretty exciting. You know, even like hole-in-one props. There were hole-in-one props. It even came down to winning score. I mean, Kevin and I had talked about this on the radio side where, you know, the winning score prop was determined on Thursday, I believe. It would be 8 under or less or 9 under or better. And that came down to the last stroke. So there's golf betting stuff available all throughout the tournament, all the way down to the last shot.
And Dave, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, and you know, you said you've been doing this for years, so you'll know, but there were a couple of big names where I could sell you on a pretty easy narrative for these guys missing the cut. Brooks and the fact that he was coming off of the surgery. And then, of course, Rory McIlroy, not only out of form, but, you know, adopting a swing coach right before the Masters, timing probably less than ideal. What did you make of those two? And, of course, Dustin Johnson as well, missing the cut here at Augusta.
Kev, we could have given you a number big enough to bet that. There is nothing that you would have told me to say, yeah, I'm going to bet these three guys to all miss the cut. And the cut at the Masters is not that big of a deal because once you win, you get a lifetime exemption. There's a lot of guys that show up to you know, play a couple rounds and then go home. Like, it's just like another day for us going to the Muni. They just get to go to Augusta and do it. So those three making the cut, I mean, obviously Brooks with the knee problem, that was one that a lot of people were on to and bet, and like, you know, that one hurt the books. But if you'd have told me those other two guys wouldn't have made the cut, you could have parlayed it too. I don't even know what the number would have been, but it wouldn't have been one that I would have been worried about taking that bet. So pretty surprising to say the least that those three didn't make the cut.
And Dave, we wanted to have you on to talk about all things around all the leagues. So I wanted to ask you and switch it over now to the NBA and what it's been like betting in this league, considering there's so many big player injuries. You have LeBron out, you have AD out. Now Giannis is out as well. We're not sure about his timetable of when he comes back. But just what's it been like this year with all these major injuries?
It's hard enough booking the NBA just in general. I say it all the time for the guys in the risk room. You draw the short straw when you get the NBA because it's a hard grind. This year, I mean, it is one of the hardest years because it started to happen, Aaron, like with load management and things like that happening, guys choosing not to play for whatever reason. It's, you know, there's birthday parties for a week. There's all kind of things that happen that guys just say, I'm busy. I can't play. But, I mean, the overnight market, you used to see NBA sides and totals up all the time. It's 5:45 out west here. There's four games that I see that have overnight lines right now in most books. Like, so from a just, you know, standpoint of putting the lines up, you have to wait. So to bet it, you really have to wait, right? Like, you've seen so much late movement. Your show's called The Early Line. And it's so hard to even talk about the NBA now, let alone until an hour before the game, because we don't know who's playing. So as the making numbers in the books, there's a lot of guesswork involved. I don't know how many people will, you know, say that, but I'm the first one to say it. I don't know who's playing tonight. I don't. Do you know? So here's the line you guys bet. And it's one of those ones where we got to move the number fast. And, like, the information is so hard to find. And, like, you know, you used to just put up the numbers and set up your risk screen and, you know, see the line. Now you have to have Twitter or some source of information to know, well, who's and try to get it first, because now betting the NBA and booking the NBA is a battle of information as well as it is of having a good opinion of who's going to win the game.
No, and it's funny, but that's kind of why we started calling it the early line special, where it's like, who do you like tonight? Well, let me see who's playing. All right, I'm pretty sure this guy will be absent, and he won't play. So I think we beat this number by 3 points, and I guess that's, you know, mission accomplished there. The question then becomes, Dave, when we get to the postseason, which is a lot closer, I think, than people realize, how much weight can we carry from a regular season that has felt like a bit of a mess here on a nightly basis? Who's in? Who's out? Do you think that when we turn the, you know, the calendar over to the postseason, we're going to have to make some real quick adjustments to some of the power ratings and perceptions that we might have of these teams?
I'm telling you this, the books aren't worried about the regular season when the postseason starts, and neither should you if you're betting it. There's nothing that I wouldn't take almost anything from it other than, wow, you know, where the seeding is, right? There's some teams mm-hmm. playing for seeds that are going to mean something in the playoffs. And apparently it doesn't mean much to teams like the Lakers, or doesn't mean much to teams like the Clippers. Like, they're okay being the 4 seed or the 3 seed or the 6 seed. Or, I mean, the way the Lakers are going, they're gonna be in the play-in. They're going to have to play their way in if this continues. None of that's going to matter come playoff time. So I wouldn't put much stock into it at all, other than the health of guys going into the playoffs. And if we know that, then maybe we're ahead of the game. But if you know that, you're ahead of the game as far as betting on the NBA in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great point there. And also wanted to ask you about betting baseball early season. Now, of course, we're in April. So how does betting differ now compared to a month like June?
Oh, man, great question. Baseball betting now, you're really, I don't know if the word is not informed, misinformed. I don't know what the word is, but it's scary. Like, it's not easy. And I don't know, when you watch the games, the status of bullpens is so huge. And, you know, the ones that hurt the most are those blown losses when you bet them. And, like, those fifth inning runs when, you know, you have the first five bet and a run is scored or two. It's hard. It is so hard. I mean, you know, I'm wearing my Pirate hat. I'm excited because they won a couple games. I don't think you can take much of anything right now as far as baseball betting. Everybody's forming information. We're all looking at the same things right now. And what you saw in spring training doesn't translate much to now. And what you're seeing now, it's just building information. I think if you know anything now or have an advantage, it's now before the books and the numbers get set. Like June, now we know who's good. And that's when you start riding good teams and you start riding good lineups and you know who has 7, 8, 9 guys set up in the bullpen. Right now, it's a lot of guesswork, Aaron. I don't know. I mean, and you got people guessing about, like, you know, you're watching instant replay, like the Phillies game last night. Like, what was that? He never touched the plate. And they reviewed it. They said he touched the plate. They left the call go. So sometimes you get it all right, and then that happens, and you lose. So good luck betting baseball now in April.
Dave, one of the things that me, you, and Donnie will talk about typically on In Play Sports Tonight when we're on the radio side of things is betting in extra innings. And it's not something that, we've really had a chance to bring up yet here on the early line. So can you talk a little bit about how different this now is from not just the sides? You know, the other day the Royals were up 4-3 going into the bottom of the 10th. They were only like -130 because the White Sox start with a guy on second base. But of course also how that impacts totals now that we have every single, you know, half inning and extra innings, a man starts on second.
It is so tough. I think the books are learning with the bettors. Like, everybody's trying to figure this thing out, and it's not easy. It really affects the totals. And, like, even where you would go back to maybe the original line, with a game going to extra innings, decide. You'll see the team, obviously, that's going to hit be favored. And then you'll see the team, if the visitor gets out and the home team comes up, it's a bigger number than it would be because you're starting with a runner in scoring position. So it's one of those things, Kev, that's really hard to quantify. And I think there's no tried and true plug and play formula that you see. So in-game betting on baseball is fun, and there's a lot of opportunities, but you better have your fingers ready to go on your app for the extra innings times, because it's fast and the line changes so much. Saw it in the Masters yesterday. Like, the lines offered by FanDuel were going stroke to stroke. Well, it's almost pitch to pitch in extra inning baseball, where, you know, now we're down 0-2. That's going to affect the line. So it's fast, it's tough, and I think you need to either have a plan before the inning starts or be ready to change your plan real quick when a guy gets down 0-2. Things like that happen. It's fun, but you got to be ready.
And Dave, now that we've hit the Masters, we've hit the NBA as well as the MLB, what's it been like this season betting in the NHL? Obviously, they've had a lot of COVID issues. It's not one of the sports people talk about as much as the NBA or the MLB, but just out of curiosity, have you seen any advantageous things to do when betting on the NHL?
Yeah, this is so different. This feels like, talk about like playoffs and things, like the NHL has been so different because of the schedule. And what you see is we're playing the same team over and over and over for like a week, but the lines don't change much. It's so strange. And I've been saying it now. I mean, like, take, for example, Edmonton played Ottawa 9 times this season, and they won all 9 games. 7 of the 9, the Oilers covered on the puck line. The line was the same.
Wow.
Every game. It was, the total may have varied by a half a goal, from 6.5 to 6 or from 6 to 5.5. But if you find the patterns in the NHL in the regular season, you can be having a very successful season. I think of all those sports we just touched on, betting the NHL has been the best for the better, at least in 2020-2021 season, for sure.
That's interesting. You know, and one thing, Dave, I don't think we'll have enough time, so we'll have to bring him back. But I know that the NFL draft is fast approaching. And last year's NFL draft was, you know, the sporting event to end all sporting events, because people were like, what? We got something to bet on. So I know we'll definitely have to have you back on as we get closer to that. But that's Dave Sharp in the Sportsbook Consigliere. If you want more Dave, you catch him on In Play Sports tonight, myself and Donnie Wrightside. We'll be right back here with more Early Line. Thanks, Dave.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, here with my co-host Kevin Walsh. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. We hit a lot of things in this show. We were trying to figure out in the break what we should do during this segment, and we were trying to think of some fun things that happened over the weekend. And one that stood out to me, obviously, because we have the NFL draft coming up in April, is Trevor Lawrence. He got married over the weekend. So, Kev, did you miss this?
I didn't know. Brian was telling us he had the bachelor's party at the Masters. Very memorable.
Sick. Yeah.
So I think that's pretty sweet. He'll always remember. Great trivia for Trevor Lawrence. If he ever, you know, does a trivia night, maybe in the locker room, who won the 2021 Masters, he better remember it was Hideki Matsuyama. But also now, you got to think there's probably a lot of like Jaguars, like one ring for Trevor. Now the big one is coming, like the Super Bowl ring. I'm pumped for Trevor. Isn't it so weird that, like, we already know he's a Jaguar? Like, he's been a Jaguar.
The fact that there's still odds on it since, like, in some way. I know. And we've, like, seen those pictures surface so many times of him getting off the plane. It's almost just like, why even have him go number one overall? I mean, he obviously is going to, but just in hindsight, we all know where he's going.
Like, I think maybe that's why he went and probably, like, bachelor marriage. Because, like, nothing is stressful about this for him. Like Mac Jones is like, oh, am I going to San Francisco at 3? Am I going to Carolina at 8? Am I going to New England? Trevor Lawrence is like, yeah, I play for the Jaguars. So, like, let me just go get married. There's nothing to worry about. Very stress-free time for Trevor Lawrence as far as the draft process goes.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure. You make a lot of great points. I mean, you get married, you go number one overall. I mean, could you ever top this month? Not to mention you got to see the Masters. Unless you win a Super Bowl. And probably if you have a child, that would be a great month. But it seems like this is going to be April 2021. I had to think a second what year it was. It's a great month for Trevor Lawrence.
Top 5 month of Trevor's life. Probably the national championship month was big. Possible Super Bowl month. True. But the Masters, we'll draft, marriage combination, it's a pretty lethal triple threat. You'd have to get his unfiltered answered top moment. Probably would say the draft.
But we'll see you here tomorrow on the Early Line, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern, here on Sports Grid Series XM.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every